You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
Hi there, you're very welcome to the GAA Hour with me, Darren O'Sullivan, and I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Donegal's Eamon McGee and Galway's Finian Henley. How are we doing, Eamon? How's the farm?
Good, Darren. Just thought you'd open up with an apology to as a cyclist, I was disgusted by your outburst. And you know, we felt really hurt, and I thought, you know, we need to apologise.
But yeah, start the show on a low anyway. Yeah, I won't be tweeting when I'm cranky about cyclists ever again. Very sensitive. But look, we all make mistakes, don't we? I'm going to go straight to Finian. Finian, how's the form? You had a great weekend.
Great weekend. I'm in great form today, you know.
Yeah, Eamon's ruined my start.
Eamon Ryan will be after you down there.
I've no turf or nothing, so you're grand. Yeah, look, so there's lots of G action again this weekend. I suppose I'm going to have to start with Donegal Armagh, Galway Mayo. Maybe unexpected results by a lot of people, or unexpected performances probably from Mayo and Armagh. But look, we'll start with you, Eamon. You're closest to me. Donegal Armagh, I think it was described as a 7-point Ulster Championship hammering. Probably about right.
Definitely. You know, I thought, impressed with Donegal, but they weren't world beaters yesterday now in terms of performance. There'd been 6, possibly 7 out of 10. And so disappointed in what Armagh brought. You know, we talked about this game for weeks after the Letterkenny incidents, and the build-up was about how poisonous the atmosphere was going to be, how, you know, much niggle was, and that there was none of it there because there didn't need to be. You know, Donegal were comfortable, very good in the ball, and just Armagh, they brought a level of physicality, but it was silly physicality in terms of there was no wild thinking behind. They gave away a lot of fouls. And for me, it was bizarre looking on to see, you know, I get some teams will concede kickouts. You know, I'm not saying, you know, never concede a kickout, but for Armagh, that was their statement from the off. We're going to give Donegal a kickout. And the way it was, they didn't even set up with a good defensive structure from it. Patton chipped the ball out to one of the Donegal players. That Donegal player then got it to Shane O'Donnell. And Shane O'Donnell just went for, probably should have put it over the bar, but that was the ease in which they were getting at Armagh. And I just thought the whole, you know, if you're going to concede a kick out like that there, you're more or less saying for a team like Armagh that we're afraid of Donegal. And I think that set the tone for the day.
Yeah, you mentioned their tackling. I actually thought the same in the league game against Kerry. Their tackling it's aggressive, but it's a funny type of, it is more about hitting the player as hard as possible more than getting the ball and knocking it away. It is more about, I don't know, some of the tackles I seen yesterday that weren't freeze given and Donegal held on to, but it was more about how hard can I hit my man. There just seemed to be no sense to it. There was no breaking the ball away. And even, I suppose, there was so much expected of Armagh. Finian, I'm wondering, getting the players off the suspension, did they think we're a good way on the way to victory here, now we're going to have a full strength team? But it was such a poor performance.
It was, yeah. Like, you see, that's, you know, there's only so many games, as we said a couple of weeks back in GAA. So if you can get any bit of edge, and I think Donegal had that edge, that bit of siege mentality after what happened, because Oran Ferry and Neil, you know, took their medicine. You know, they were out. The boys are back. Reen O'Neill, you know, how good are Armagh really, you know, at the back? You know, they, you know, whilst they play some nice football, and obviously they showed their hand against Dublin really in the first round of the league, I thought. And after that, you know, teams catch up, and Donegal are obviously a seasoned team. And as Eamon says, the ease at which they penetrate. Like, Donegal missed a sight in the first half. They squeezed the kickouts, like, you know, Armagh struggled on their own kickouts. We don't need to be rocket scientists to see that. But I just thought all over the park, Donegal were much better. Obviously, Donegal are a serious team. They'll see themselves now as contenders. You know, like McCall dealt with O'Neill. He was superb. And obviously, you know, Michael Murphy and McBrearty are still carrying the can. Like, Murphy's, you know, when he gets the bit between his teeth, and he's got a very good supporting cast, a lot of legs around him, you know, Morgan, these guys. So he can take 10 minutes and let the boys do the running, but when he comes in and out, he's so clever. So Donegal are way too much.
I think just on Murphy, you know, it's probably, this is going to sound silly, it's the first time sitting in the stand, you really appreciate, you know, we you know, when you're in the circle, you played a good players, you play good players, you kind of take them for granted, you know, and I'm sitting there and the fans just love him. And just to sit back and just watch what he does and the leadership he shows, he gets on ball and he's vocal about it and the lads respond to him. And, you know, it's nearly silly saying it, but it's just you appreciate it so much more when you're separated and you're in that supporter role.
It's funny you actually said that, because it was only after I retired and I was watching a lot of games as a neutral and not thinking I might play again. That's only when I started appreciating Michael Murphy.
Yeah.
To be honest, and all he brought to it, and he's phenomenal. We could sit here and do a full show on him. He is amazing. And for you, I suppose, sitting in there with all the Donegal fans and seeing, they must be obsessed with him. Like, sure, he's doing it for so long, so consistently. But you're right. It's only when you actually step out and you can actually kind of watch a game for what it is that you can appreciate everything that he brings to the table. But I'm going to stick on you. And I'm going to stick to the suspensions, because you gave a great tweet there during the week, and it was a two-step plan, really, to getting off suspensions. And the first one is, if you get a red card, always, always appeal. And then when you get to that appeal, and I quote, lie like fuck.
I'm only passing on the advice that was given to me now.
Passed down generations.
This is what, and I think it's in every county.
Yeah.
You know, north and south, that the appeals process has opened itself up to such ridicule that this is the mentality we have. Like, there was times, and I've been through the appeals, I think, four times, and the one time I got off was where I was actually genuinely sent off in the wrong.
Go ahead.
And the other three times I was, literally one of the times, one of the lads was, you've got to appeal here. And I says, I can't appeal. There's literally 100 people seeing what I did. We still appeal. And I got off with it. And that's, people say there's a culture of appealing. The culture of appealing is because the GA opens itself up to it. And it's farcical. Farcical to have that situation. Like, with Ryan O'Neill, didn't get to the level that he could have got to yesterday. I'm happy enough with that. Brent McCall did an unreal job. But I don't think the whole distraction for a man from a Ryan O'Neill's perspective lended to help them at all. And just in terms of the process, I just find it so, so amateurs. We talk about an elite game, and inter-county game is an elite thing, but it's propped up by a lot of amateurism within the association and a lot of people that are just not up to the role.
Yeah, and look, we won't dwell too much on the suspensions, because this is going on for ages, especially later in the year, where you'd see red cards coming into the quarterfinals, semifinals, the finals, and literally as soon as someone appeals, they're going, they're going to get off. So it's not the first time, but Oisín McConville claimed that Donegal were being cute by not appealing, which, look, to be honest, and he had a bit of a going over that the GA or the CCC or whatever it is were targeting Ryan O'Neill, but I think that was a bit of mind my nephew here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it helped Ryan O'Neill, to be honest.
No, I don't think so. Like what goes on in that, what went on in that meeting or that CCC meeting? Now, you've been in them. I've been in, you know,
I've never been
to
in
a lesser extent.
I was gonna say, but I actually think they need to make it transparent. Like, what happened, or leave journalists in? I don't know. I've never been in them. I was a good lad. Like, to be fair,
but what could have got him off? I don't know either. Like, they undermine the referees now as well, and like, where's the referees report? Obviously, it's a waste of time, because and then you go back to the Jerry McConnelly stuff, the midnight madness, and all that crap. Yeah. 12 hours before a game. Like, how does it get to that?
Yes, yeah,
you know, like as Eamon rightly says, we're close to professionalism and stuff like that, but amateur hour in a lot of the things we do, like when it comes to, like, why wouldn't you appeal? Because you've a great chance of getting off. They need to change the process, because it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I mean? And not just the Armagh thing, obviously this is going back for ages.
It is ongoing.
Yeah. And we know we'll probably have the same conversation over the coming weeks anyway, because there'll be something, a wrong or a right red card that'll be rescinded or not rescinded or whatever. So like that, I think if everyone knows why the decisions are made and why decisions are kept or rescinded, I think we'd all be happy. But I suppose going back to the game, the surprising thing for me was, here, look, Armagh, we talked about them on this show a few times about how good they've been and how they were one of the most attacking teams. And we talked about them just there, both defensively, and Donegal are one of the better running teams. Mm-hmm. And a lot of their scores came from where Armagh had bodies back, but they were doing nothing. Mm. And it was literally a case of give and go. Sometimes they didn't even need to give and go. It was drop of a shoulder and gone. And it just shows, like, pulling bodies back is no good unless you have a clear instruction, which it was just so surprising and disappointing, really, because we had this game built up, and most of the Ulster Championship games are fairly explosive. This was this was a stroll. Like, it was very un-Ulster championship like.
It was, and you know, I took the Weifel up, and I was kind of apprehensive about taking up because I thought the atmosphere is going to be, it's going to remind me of the Tyrone games where, you know, there's a toxic atmosphere nastiness. And there's nasty there, and you know, would seep into the supporters, and I was kind of having these visions, I'm going to have to put the hands over the wee man's ears, and
so he couldn't hear you shout.
He still heard me shouting a few words there now, but it didn't come to that at all. In terms of, you know, Armagh brought the physicality, and you know, we talked about Michael Murphy, you know, the abuse Michael Murphy gets, it's crazy. And you know, there's linesmen, and I was so frustrated, you know, with linesmen actually watching it, but a lot of what Armagh brought was just silly stuff. There was no wide thinking to it. And it kind of surprises me because McGeaney is probably as good a defender as what's ever been, and that mentality, and he's just all, seems his team's all about physicality without the actual, there's a plan, there's no plan to it, just bring physicality, and that's it.
Yeah, that is a surprising thing. We mentioned earlier some of the tackles, there doesn't seem to be a method to it. It's just a case of hit.
Yeah.
Do you know, and a lot of the times you hit a fella, all GA lads are strong now, they're just, you're actually bouncing off them, and you're giving them a bit of momentum. But we mentioned the kickouts as well, the conceding kickouts, and obviously you're both defenders, so in this game plan you'd be receiving a lot of ball. I don't see the purpose in, especially Armagh at the moment, Finian, because they have big men.
Yeah,
I can't understand how you, if you have big men around the middle, that you don't trust them. Now McGee around the middle for Donegal was very good yesterday, but surely, be to God, that comes down to a lack in confidence in the midfield eight, we call them, that they won't be able to win their own ball, or they won't have the hunger to compete with Donegal on the ground, which is a bit of an insult.
Yeah, no, it is. And I suppose obviously the goalie is a bit of, you know, elephant in the room, you know, outfield player and stuff like that, and where they're trying to go with this whole, I don't know. And giving the ball to your corner, or letting the opposition have the kickouts, you need to have that plan, as Eamon says. You need to have that. You need to be setting traps then, you know, to put them down the sidelines, you know, or whatever, down that channel where you want them to go, and then you want to maul them at a certain space. But, you know, the short kickouts were there, then it was getting to O'Donnell, then it was getting in, they were going around players. So the whole plan, whatever the plan was, seemed to have capitulated. And, you know, if you're not, you know, getting 70-80% of your own kickouts, you're in
trouble.
You're in serious trouble. Yeah. And then you're giving the opposition theirs as well. And Donegal are so good on the ball with McHugh and, you know, Owen Gallagher. They're very skillful, and when they get a run on you, it's curtains, you know. So look, brilliant for Donegal. They look like they're coming good at the right time, but you know, Armagh have to regroup now. Like, you could have Armagh and Mayo in a backdoor.
Yeah.
And yeah, that'd be interesting.
For Armagh, like, could they, we're playing such attacking football, and if good forward, you'd always, for me anyway, you'd always mention the key is get the ball up to the forward as quick as possible. The only thing I can see is that with the goalie being an outfielder by trade, that is a case of give it short and we'll create overlaps. But even then, you're giving the opposition chance to funnel back and take away that space. So look, for me, it's just confusing, but we won't dwell on it, I suppose. So it was a big win for Donegal. Like you said, I think they might be coming good at the right time. There was a lot of really good performances. But it was a running game again, like, in McBrearty doing what McBrearty does. He was quite enough for a spell, and then he explodes into action.
And that seems to be what Paddy does now. Paddy's as good as what you'll get. And no, as a defender, you like to think he must be just a nightmare. You like to think you've got this man sorted. He's out of the game, and then he just springs to life. And, you know, how many times have we marked people and we thought, we've broke this man now, he won't want to know, and then Paddy just springs to life. And that's the danger. Now, the challenge for Paddy is to bring it consistently. If we want to talk about Donegal as Ulster or All-Ireland contenders, you know, Paddy needs to be bringing that. You know, Michael Langan, Michael Murphy and these boys, and that's a brilliant attacking unit. If we can bring it consistently right through the 70 minutes, I think we'll be in a good enough spot.
Yeah, and there's serious, there's footballers at the minute in Donegal, like the O'Donnells are very good. Shane O'Donnell is seems to be a serious footballer. Jamie Brennan is back. You know, Morgan has really stepped up. You know, obviously Ferry and McGee to come back into that. Well, you know what I mean? Yeah. To come back, like, to add to that bench as well.
Yeah.
Like they have loads of footballers. And one thing they've done, if you look at Letterkenny IT this year, like, they were as good as the team in Sigerson. And I think they were all Donegal, weren't they? Like, there's something maybe happening up there with developing younger players. I know Murphy's in around Letterkenny IT as well. So, Like those players are coming out of there, so there might be they might be starting to move, you know, players in a bit quicker into the senior setup. But one thing they have done is, you know, and credit to this man and his brother, they've really, really good full back line now, I think. You know, Ward is good, can play. McMenamin has been good for a few years, you know, I think. And obviously McCall a full back, and they've replaced McGrath and these two boys, you know, and they built foundations over, with that over the years, having a solid full back line. So, you know, that's a really good base to build from. And then you've got obviously really good players around the middle. I think, yeah, there's something happening up there.
And just on it, when we are, you know, we've got to give a shout out to Brendan McCall. You know, he had his doubters. He came off in after 25 minutes in a league final against Meath 2-3 years ago now. And, you know, people, he was often referred as Neil McGee, and who's going to come in for Neil McGee? And Brendan McCall's just worked hard, kept at it, and now there's no more talk about Neil McGee. It's Brendan McCall now. And, you know, what he did to Rhian O'Neill, and, you know, he made it a very uncomfortable 70 minutes for him, and I think he deserves a shout out. You know, we talk about Murphy and, you know, the attacking players, but Brendan McCall, definitely, he won over a lot of people yesterday.
Yeah, and like Finian, you named off a good string of them there, the Donegal players. For the last number of years, you've been looking at them as, geez, they have lovely footballers here who do have the legs to be a running team or a kicking team. So now it's about getting that consistency. And I suppose we talked about Michael Murphy earlier. I think yesterday was probably the first game I've seen him fit, not coming in with an injury in a while. So if they can keep him fit, and like the way you said, he's so much experience, he doesn't need to be dictating or controlling the game for the full 70. He can drift in and out and mind the body. I think he has the intelligence to do that. And if they can keep him 100% fit, and like that, the other lads who we've been talking about for the last number of years, who are lovely football, they're probably getting that bit more mature as well. Yeah. Sometimes it takes a couple of years for a team to fully mature. And like I see that blow with a few of the Kerry lads, oh, lovely footballer, but great one day, not great the next day. Sometimes it takes you a couple of 3-4 years
at county what, level. And county, it's about the mentality, and we'll touch on it later on about the two Galway lads in terms of Comer and Conroy and the mentality they bring. But, you know, ability wise, most of the county players are at the same level, but it's the mentality that separates them, and the desire, and, you know, that hard edge that, you know, we see it in a lot of the top teams, and that's what we want as Donegal people. We want that next generation to come in and have that real hard edge mentality. And before we finish up in Donegal, I've got to give a shout out to Neil and Oren, you know, the two boys that were suspended. And I was laughing that people were saying they were part of this conspiracy. And I was laughing at myself. They're two clubmates of mine. I was thinking, you're giving these boys an awful lot of credit. It's more just reacting instinct. They've seen the row and they just went to the row now. But I enjoyed that one, like to give the two boys that they cooked up this grand conspiracy to start the row in O'Donnell Park and Letterkenny, and, you know, try and get a
master
few
hours plan.
The master plan, as they call it now.
Yeah. But is there talk in Donegal that after what Tyrone, like, probably not, but it, like, after what Tyrone did last year, is there, you know, Jesus, you know, we would take Tyrone on, you know, 5 out of 5, you know, 4 times out of 5, really, over the last number of years. Is there talk there, and maybe within the camp, and obviously Neil doesn't say anything to you or whatever, but like even within the camp, are they thinking, Jesus, lads, we've, you know, we've as good as what's there. They went and did it. And Monaghan might be thinking the same. We can go that step further.
I think a lot of teams would be thinking the same, to be honest, because, look, especially this year, because I think, look, there's been a lot of talk about Kerry this and Kerry that. And every other team is kind of, oh, you're all fighting for second place. But, like, Dublin are probably thinking the same at the moment. Not a word being said about them. So we won't go into everyone. But I guarantee there's a lot of them there. And just on the Donegal lads as well, we mentioned Conor Myler here last week and his athleticism. Ryan McHugh has been doing this for a number of years. And man the match yesterday, he's phenomenal, to be fair. Like, he's up and down, he's over. But he's doing this for a long time now as well, like, to be fair. Yeah. He still looks like he only just came onto the panel.
Listen, Ryan, I actually don't think he was man of the match now. I'll say that to him too. But Ryan's, you know, and again, people would have got at him during the league campaign. Mm. And, you know, he always has that quality. And he's a big leader. He's a big leader for Donegal. He mightn't think that in terms of his stature, physical stature, but in terms of what he brings to Donegal, what he brings to the training, he's a, you know, I can't say enough about him. Great lad too. and just an unbelievable player. Like we know what Ryan's about, and it's just if we're going to win anything and if we're going to get medals, then we need Ryan there.
Mm. I'm presuming you wouldn't have marked him much in training.
No.
I stay clear
of the books like you that have a bit of pace there.
And I don't want to go over the whole game because there was a period right after half time. Donegal or Armagh had two goal chances, didn't get them or weren't given, and then Donegal got 1-1 all of a sudden. Instead of it being maybe a level game, it was 7 points. But the Rian O'Neill goal, it's up for debate, it's controversial. Personally, I didn't think it was. I thought he kind of pulled the ball from the goal. I think kind of half pushed it into the net. I don't know. Obviously, some people say it should have been given or shouldn't have been given, but I actually think it should always be called back for a mark, even though he couldn't call it. Anything for catching that in top of the square, I think they should be given the benefit of a tap over. But I'm a forward.
I am going to go. No way was it a
goal. No. Not a hope. Joe Sheridan's was more of a goal than a goal.
That was a try
to open up a can of worms.
Yeah.
No. There's no way. It was a complete throw. Obviously, the Armagh people are saying it was a goal, but I don't think there's any.
No, I didn't think so either. No, to be fair.
You know? But you're right about the mark. He maybe should have, like, it was a super catch, super ball. You know,
I think that's why the mark was brought in. And obviously, I actually don't think we don't think he knew where exactly he was. Hmm. That it only needed a little flick left
all
or right,
so
and it was so close that there's no way Patton, well, you'd imagine, wouldn't have been able to get down to it. But I actually think in that
Murphy would have flicked it.
Murphy would have flicked it, yeah. But I actually don't think in that situation, as a forward, you can think quick enough, put up your hand, call mark. So the only good thing about the attacking mark was for moments like that. I actually think if a fella wins it like that, he doesn't have the. You don't have the time to think, Mark, because you've goal in the mind. When two or three come around, I actually think it should have automatically a 13-yard free because that is the benefit of it.
Well, you're going to say that as your forward, like, but you...
Well, no, to be fair, I wasn't catching too many high balls, so...
Do you want us to put the ball over the bar for you? Like,
no, we'll do that ourselves. Just all give the advantage tap over, here, like. But, it's another reason why people would kick the ball in. We'll go to the Galway-Mayo game because... I know Aidan Shea ended up in full forward, no ball went in. But it's another reason why you'd get people trying to put the ball in a bit sooner. But before we go, before we finish up, we'll just finish on Armagh McGeaney. He's doing a lot good. I have a good time for him, to be fair. But they just don't know how to win an Ulster Championship game. The record is awful. Do you know, for a team moving in the right direction, they seem to be doing an awful lot right. Is it a mentality thing now? They go in and full of confidence, then the self-doubt creeps in. I find it hard to understand.
I don't think it's a mentality thing. I think this, when you look down through the years, I think we played them in 2015, hockeyed them, beat them off the park, and I think more is about the terms of the way they set up, and that's why you love to get your man on Donaghy and just kind of say, like, what way did they go to set up? Because in terms of the last league game in this champion, they got the whole thing wrong. They could have, you know, started O'Neill, started Grugan in that last league game and put the pressure, go out and beat Donegal, put the pressure on them, potential relegation, but they held back. And then to go and start that championship game and give them the kick out and, you know, hang their own keeper out to dry because they didn't make it easy on them. I just love to understand. And, you know, they're in the camp and they know better, but for me, looking on, it just didn't make sense, and that seems to be the way that Armagh have just got it wrong tactically right throughout their years. And you know, you have to ask, and we don't want to disrespect him too much because he is a legend of the game, and you know, I have good time for him, and he says you have good time for him, but is it time for him to move on? Has he?
Yeah, it just seems to be. We talked about it after the league that it may be a bit of overconfidence in how they were playing, and maybe look, Donegal maybe weren't shooting the lights out. They were very inconsistent, and I didn't see this being so comfortable. I don't think anyone saw it being the type of game the championship was. So it's a strange one. Now, in fairness, bringing Donaghy on, you wouldn't get a straight answer from him anyway. But it would be like that. It would be interesting to see what the thinking was, because there was obviously thinking behind it. Yeah. There was obviously a plan behind it. Donegal just counteracted it, and like we mentioned earlier, their defensive plan, if your defensive plan isn't in place and isn't functioning, it doesn't matter what you have up front. If you can't get that core ready at the back and take away the space, you're not hiding to nothing.
Yeah, it's hard to know. Like, is he 8 years there?
I think it's 8 years. Only three Ulster Championship wins.
It's a long time. And look, he might have been unlucky in a few, but by and large, they probably deserve to lose a lot of them. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Now they have got to Division One, but I suppose, you know, that's up to the Armagh County Board. They obviously love McGeaney in Armagh. Do they love the project now heading into year 9? And, you know, what's next? Like Donegal seem to be coming a bit again. Monaghan, obviously, under Banty. Tyrone have won in All-Ireland.
It's not getting easier.
It's not getting any easier, you know. So and even if the championship changes, the structure of the championship changes, then, you know.
The only thing, the pressure's off now, like that. We're talking negatively about Armagh, whereas a week ago we were very positive about him. So maybe get a nice draw in the qualifiers and all of a sudden things pick up and a bit of momentum comes back again. So you never know. I wouldn't write them off just yet. I think they're not at the conversation for the top table just yet. But I wouldn't be ruling them out next year to kick it on again. And like we said, get a decent draw in the qualifiers and all of a sudden one big win and you're bouncing again.
I suppose the question you have to ask, are the players good enough in Armagh? Mm. Like, is McGeaney getting the apps? Is this a Sean Dyche, Burnley situation?
Don't say that because he gets a sack.
No, but I'm saying, are they getting the absolute most out of these? And is there a crew of minors coming that they want to bring into that setup as well? So, you know, the Armagh people will know who are in the inner sanctum. They'll be able to tell you, look, you know, these boys aren't the players that people think they are, but McGeaney is dragging every ounce out of them as well. So I suppose that's a question. Like, if he was to leave, you know, you might be left with a new guy coming in and players that you know flatter to deceive, you know.
Yeah, and another manager who didn't have the best championship record, your man Pádraig Joyce, got it right yesterday. Just the moment you've been waiting for, the smile you're trying to hide it.
give us a big win,
well deserved. At the end, I actually thought Galway don't know how to win this, but they were by far and away the better team on the day.
Yeah, look, we've been down the road a few times. I've been there myself, you know, leading in injury time and losing games by a point, and you know these big high skyscrapers going over the bar, you know, by an inch, and ending up on a draw or loss. So it was great. It went wide. It was probably the wrong option for the young guy.
Yeah,
he came on. He saw the headlights and went for it. In fairness to him. But no, look, it was a huge win for our boys. There was pressure on all of them, all the players. There was pressure on the management. You know, if we were to lose yesterday, you know, 3 years in and not having got over the line against Mayo, so you could see the relief on Pádraig's face yesterday. But look, the boy stood up. He went. You know, we talked about the league final and the hemorrhaging that happened in the back line. He went back to basics, put the two kind of sweepers in.
Yeah.
You know, and Dylan and Kieran Malloy. Who are two really comfortable footballers, very calm. Obviously, the Cathal Finn, you know, they've been playing in big games, so it didn't faze them to go back and sit in front of the full back line. We had 14, 15 behind the ball at times. And look, you know, the years we bet Mayo over the last 5 or 6 years, that is what has worked. And Mayo struggle against the blanket defence. It's not, everyone knows that. And, you know, the last day I just thought they were void of ideas. When Ryan O'Donoghue wasn't scoring, he was scoring, but you know they were expecting him to score a lot. You know, James Carr had some flashes, but outside of that, they couldn't penetrate that blanket defence. And our boys were, you know, on the counter. Then we were quick and we had options. You know, Paul, Damien, Shane up front, Johnny chipping in. You know, we had a lot.
We had lots.
You know, we had loads of boys up front that could kick scores as well. So, look, the counter attacking suits us. We've gone back to that, and I hope we stay at it. I think it'll reap rewards over the summer. But no, look, it was a great win. It was great to be down there.
I was
surrounded by Mayo people, and it was a huge Mayo crowd. I think they expected to win, but it's nice to ambush them down there as well. And the crack was good yesterday. No, I really enjoyed it.
I could tell you were buzzing coming in this morning. But like you said, there, look, Galway were facing a bit of an identity crisis. They had a defensive frailties, I suppose you want to call it. But it was very evident to two sweepers that were just staying either side of the D. And it just makes such a difference. Like, you would have played in the full back line. Having that security there probably gives you both the confidence to go for every ball instead of standing off. And you could tell, like, God, we got a couple of big turnovers as well where fellas were able to go. Like, we talked about the Armagh tackling, but it was man, ball. It was everything. And, like, Galway, I'm not going to put them into the serious contenders just yet, but they showed a lot for 60 minutes, I'm going to say.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't put them in the big All-Ireland contenders in the top four or even the top five at the minute. But, you know, they definitely took me by surprise yesterday. And it just goes back to think, I'm not sure if I have this right and Finney may correct me, but Joyce had a philosophy of when he started off that it's going to be attacking and it's going to be open. And sometimes, like the best way I can describe this, like, I had a philosophy for parenting that my kids were never going to get a phone. You know, they were never going to watch YouTube. They were going to have a half an hour TV during the day.
Yeah.
And see, when you're in the mix when, you know, they're shouting and they're crying, you just say, right, just do whatever you have to do at the time. And, you know, that seems to be Joyce's learning now that, you know, sometimes you've got to, you know, sell whatever principles and just go back to that defensive structure. And you say it suits them well. And I think if they're going to go to that next level, they've got to marry it with that offensive plan because they have the players and they've got to become strong at the back, yes, but, you know, they've got to find a way that they can get the most out of their, you know, their offensive threat now.
Yeah, and we mentioned it as well. For a lot of the time with Galway, they don't tend to get the most out of their three main men, Shane Walsh, Comer, Conroy. I thought yesterday, like we mentioned the word maturity earlier, for the likes of Shane Walsh and Comer, younger, but Conroy's machine just keeps doing it. But to get the most out of the three boys, it set Galway up well. And when the game was there to be taken over, Comer coming out and Conroy combining around the middle, it was a big factor in the win.
Yeah, no, and you're right about Damien. Coming out to the middle suits him because more often than not, he's inside, he's double marked, you know, like he's always double marked, and we expect a lot out of him to get the ball and run around four players and bull his way through because he's powerful. But I think the Michael Murphy style for him switching in and out suits him just as well. And I suppose there's a fear with Damien that if we play him out around the middle, it doesn't go well. Everyone in Galway will be shouting, why isn't Damien Cormer in near closer to the goal? Why aren't we kicking it into him? And that's just the perception that's out there. Whereas he's done well. He started his career at wing forward for the under-21s, and when he's out around the middle, he can catch ball. He's a great option for kickouts. He's strong. He can tackle. Do you know what I mean? He's got all that to his locker. And then he can creep in, you know, and maybe end up in a 1v1, and then he's really, really dangerous. But, you know, and if you have someone like Paul kicking the ball in, like some of the kick passes Paul gave in yesterday, the one where the goalie came out and went out for a 45, that was inches away from absolute perfection. You know, we got a 45 and Shane kicked it, but like the outside of the right, Paul is so deceptive in his kick pass, and you know, to be kicking it into Damien and those guys inside, you know, that's a serious threat.
But as a forward, if you know there's a player outside, like I always knew Sheehan, Sheehan wants to kick it.
Yeah.
Do you know, you'll run all day because you know 9 times out of 10 he's going to look for me, and 9 times out of 10 he'll get me. And that makes a big difference. But for Comer, being inside can be quite restrictive. And when you get the chance to wander out, get that bit of freedom, you're not as tightly marked, especially if things maybe, if you're finding a bit of cramped inside, you get outside and all of a sudden you've space ever. It can be brilliant. And it confuses the opposition as well. Do I go with him? Do I stay in? Do I stay out? Right, no, you follow him this time and you're back in. And I, for me as a forward, coming in and out, having the freedom to do it, it's brilliant. And it worked a treat. And we mentioned he's good for kickouts. Galway went long with a lot of kickouts. And I suppose going into the game, you had two midfielders that probably the two top ones in the country at the moment, in Ruane and Conroy. Matty Ruane has been brilliant for Mayo. He was kind of nowhere yesterday.
That's the mentality that we talk about. Conroy brought it and Conroy has it. And you know, you got to give him serious credit for what he's done and for what he's come back from. I think he's a serious example to, you know, because the easy thing for him, you know, they were nowhere near in All-Ireland. No offence, Finian.
For him
to walk away and say, listen, I've done my time. But he's came back, he's battled, and he it's made him harder. He's brought that even better mentality now, and that's a lesson for Rowan, that you've just got to bring it all the time.
Yeah, and look, to be fair, maybe it was just a bad day at the office. It's very rarely that a Mayo man doesn't bring it. But going forward, like if I was playing Galway, you'd nearly be putting a marker on Conroy. Right, I don't think there's any point putting a midfielder, especially a like-for-like midfielder, because I don't think any other midfielder's as good a kicker. There'll be other midfielders who'll get chipping with scores, maybe Fenton. But you're going for a shootout with him then, and like we've talked about it before. I think you have to put a fairly rangy defender on him.
You do, and he comes on. He's creeping in now, and he's coming on the loop, and yeah. like where people are watching Shane and watching Damien, like he's the last player you want on that D.
He looks like a spare man drifting up at his ease, comfortable off the left and right from 40 yards in.
It suits him, and I suppose going back to Murphy, it suits Murphy as well because they're not stuck in around that, you know, defensive systems or anything like that. But if you watch Paul on the ball, you know, yesterday, Paul had to change big time into as football moved on and became more of a possession based game. You know, and chatting to Paul was like, I find it very hard to, you know, keep possession with a hand pass because every time if you watch him and watch the game, it's every time it's look to kick that ball, he looks to kick all the time, and then he has to kind of go, oh, it's not on, and hand pass, which he probably doesn't like
got
to
it
do. But but that's the way the game has changed, and he had to get patience into his game because, but you know, early in his career, he was kicking everything and, you know, kicking into blanket defences, and he was saying, geez, Paul's given turnover the ball 6 or 7 times, whereas now he's varying it, he can keep it. And when it's on to kick, you want him on the ball, you know. But look, he was brilliant yesterday, kicked another 3 points. He's getting better as the year goes on. We need him fit. We need Shane, Damien and Paul fit. Our bench isn't loaded with experience, you know. Even the lads came on, did quite well, but you know, that's where we might fall down because, you know, we don't have those players. We've lost Gary, we've lost Gareth. That bit of experience to come on, we don't have. So, you know, there's bigger tests ahead. But look, you know, we'll take one against the old enemy yesterday. Yeah. The Rossies will be looking at both teams saying, we're Galway great, we're Mayo great. They'll probably be thinking they have a right good chance in the Connacht final as well.
Yeah, and I suppose going back to Mayo, it seemed to be the same old story. Struggling for scores. I know it's like every time we mention them, it's kind of going over the same things. But Killian O'Connor was back. Ty played well, but maybe a bit rusty with a couple of scores. They missed a couple of handy frees. Not handy frees, but frees you'd expect maybe him to get.
The standards he set, you'd expect Killian to get that. And, you know, for the circumstances in terms of the lengthy layoff and the injury, he did well now. But, like, we talked about Mayo a few weeks ago, and we could more or less for the podcast just hit replay on that whole thing. Yeah. And it's just, it's frustrating. It's so frustrating as someone who would have an awful lot of respect for Mayo and the way they're able to bounce back, them, I'm kind of ending my tether with them.
But that's the thing, like, I think Mayo had 12 wides, Galway had 3, Mayo 50% conversion. I know we say the same thing about them, and look, I've no doubt they'll go through the qualifiers and be there and thereabouts, come semi-final, maybe back to another final. But you can't keep having this conversation, 50% accuracy, like, I can't understand how it's the same formation, the same style of play week in, week out. No, they came good the last 10 minutes. When I say came good, I actually mean Galway looked like they didn't know how to win it.
I think that was more that in terms of Galway, we're ahead here. And
they're like, how do we kick on? Yeah. Do we sit back? In the end, they tried to break a few times, but not with conviction. They were trying to sit back. And in fairness, that game suits Mayo. It was frantic, those bodies everywhere. And maybe if it didn't, Orm, in fairness, credit to you, he went for the shot, he had the balls to do it, but it was never on. That's a young lad seeing the headlines, maybe just a bit overexcited, a bit impatient, but it was just frantic. I was, but he's a young lad, and do you know, it was one of them ones where their tails were up, they're after getting, I think it was 5 on the trot, do you know, after, I think there was a period there where it was 8-1 for the space of 20 minutes, and do you know, and it was typical of me, the game is lost, and then they go come good for 10 minutes and it's just frantic. But that style won't win games against big teams. And I think if Galway were more comfortable in that style, now they were very good for 60 minutes, probably tired, if that was a month later where they're more comfortable in that style, they wouldn't concede 5 points later.
I
just think the fact that it was Mayo, there was a bit of doubt. It was as if they didn't know how to win.
And the defensive setup for Galway, it's not that it's new, because a lot of the players played under Kevin and they know how to play that kind of blanket style defence. But then there was, you know, it's not fine tuned yet. You could see they're only 3 weeks at it, because James Carr got a score in the first half where he fired Sean Kelly onto the ground and went round 3 or 4, and it was kind of it was reminiscent of the the Murta goal in the league final as well. So we've a bit to do with regards to tightening it up now. We've Leitrim next, which should add to that as well. But like Mayo are just coming to that blanket defence and looking for snatchy shots. You know, there was a few, like they never looked like going over. Do you know what I mean? Like obviously Keegan came up and, you know, a silky one outside of the right. But, you know, other than that, then it was just coming to that blanket, hitting the brick wall, which we've spoken about already, and there was no real penetration. Like if you go to watch Dublin, how they break down the blanket defence, there's runners everywhere. The inside forwards come out to the corner and they're replaced by the guy. You know what I mean?
There's constant movement.
Matty Rowan was trying to do it in the first half, but it was real jogging through that kind of arc defence. Yeah. It wasn't with absolute
token gesture.
It was token gesture. So it wasn't like they've really, really practiced it, but you know, they should have known Galway over the last number of years, the way they've set up and have learned to really break this down with patience and with strike runners. You know, Aidan was trying to set lads free, but they weren't going at it with any conviction. So I'm surprised by Horan, I'm surprised by Mayo that they didn't have that nailed down, because they knew that Galway were going to have to be somewhat defensive and, you know, take out Jason Donoghue or Ryan O'Donoghue. What else was there? You know, Killian was trying, Carr and flashes.
I got a few flashes. But that's what it is. It's flashes. And you mentioned Aidan there, and he was around the middle yesterday, which was a surprise to a lot of fellas. But I thought he played quite well.
Yeah,
and then, his tackling is actually one of the things that's really underrated. It doesn't get brought up enough. Like, look, we'll always talk, oh, he doesn't shoot, he doesn't score, whatever. But it's always the other stuff that he's very good at, the stuff that we always forget about. Mm. But they put him in full forward at the end. I didn't know. Until I was looking around the place and I said, where's he gone?
Yeah.
But didn't kick any ball. I just don't see the point in it. Do they work on it in training?
Yeah.
Galway had bodies in front of the D. Kick it over it.
Yeah.
Do you know, I can't leave him catch one inside there. Handy mark. I just don't get it.
I think it goes back to the philosophy argument we had about Joyce there. You know, what Horan's brought to the game and to the GAA has been unbelievable in the journey the Mayo supporters have been on. But surely there comes a stage where you say, right, we've got to the final, we've got to semi-finals, and this hasn't worked for us. Like, what stage do you do that? What stage do you say, right, we need to add something more, we need to take another aspect into our game here, and or instead of just carrying on with the same thing, you know, throw Aidan O'Shea in and just hope for the best, and, you know, something will come off it, like, and I just don't. Again, you'd love for Horan to be sitting there now and we'd grill him and say, what's the story here, James? And,
it's real Fellaini at Man United at the time. You know, we were all philosophy and then all of a sudden lump it up to Fellaini.
But it is one, like, and I don't think James is going to come on, but you'd actually love to have a conversation with some Mayo fans, because, yeah, like I say, do you want to keep playing this? Mm-hmm. No, it's not about, oh, we'll do what the fans want, but it's not working. Like, and like, the question's going to be asked, are Mayo contenders? And you'll always say, oh yeah, they'll plod away through the qualifiers, and I just don't think they are. I could, this little bit of the year it comes back to bite me in the arse.
We had Mayo in the top, they were in my top two anyway. And the thing, you chat about the supporters, I'd love to ask them, you know, in terms of Donegal's journey, we had a relatively short window when we were reaching semi-finals, finals, you know, which were from 2011 to 2015. I'd love to ask a Mayo supporter, but we got one medal, we got the big one, and I'd love to ask them and say, what would you take? Would you take this journey, this roller coaster up and down, or would you take that short window? I know what I would love. I would love the medal in the back pocket and put the, you know, feet up when you retire and all that. And it's just, What do they want? Do they want to continue on this circle, or what?
I'm sure the journey is great crack, like, but they're just not getting to the destination. Look, it's a tough one. Look, they're great supporters. They follow them ever, and they're a brilliant team. But even the players, you'd wonder, would they go, geez, we could mix this up a bit. Like we mentioned Galway there. Pádraig had a certain way he wanted to play, wasn't getting the results he wanted.
Yeah.
Right, I can't do it all the way I want. Sometimes you just can't do things you want. You have to change it up. And he did. Maybe it was just for the Mayo game, might change it for next game. But you do have to change it. Jack has come in with Kerry. He's changed the defensive structure. He has fellas sitting. It was never a case Kerry would, ideally, you wouldn't want to be sitting.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to. Sometimes you just have to sit back and mind the house. you're not going to win championships without a solid base. It's simple as that.
Yeah, and it's across the board in sport now. Like counter-attacking is it's a way of life. It's in, you know, most Premier League games are counter-attacking, bar the two teams that are, you know, would pass you into oblivion. But like even Kerry now, they're able to transition so quickly, and the teams are so fit. They're up and down the pitch. Everyone, like Dublin did it for years. They defend together, they attack together, and you know, Mayo have a lot of good players. Like, he's built a new team, in fairness to Horn, you know, when everyone said Mayo were absolutely finished in whatever year, you know, now he's back with Mullen, McLaughlin, O'Hara. Like, they're brand new guys that are in there. So, like, he's getting that right.
But they're very like the players are going to be replacing. Do you know?
Yeah,
so
that's my worry,
you have these guys, they're all free-spirited backs who go up the field. And I always wonder about the, you know, we talk about, I'm not big into stats, to be honest. I think they can be a bit deceiving, but when it comes to shooting stats, normally it's black and white. And if you're not 50%, it wasn't the case the weekend, but a lot of the times, a lot of the shooters are backs, and you'd hear people raving, oh, Dorkin kicked 2 points, and I'd be like, we had five shots. Or someone else, I'm just picking him because he's a good attacking back. But I'd be there going, as a forward, sometimes you don't get five shots in a game. And I was there going, if you got 2 out of 5, as soon as the game's over, the next round, you'd be highlighted, kind of going, that's not good enough. Mm. And I always wonder, because you hear, oh, Mayo only had 48% to 46 or 51, it's not good enough. You're going, how many of these are from the forwards? Now, I know it wasn't the case the weekend. They didn't have too many. I think Ryan had 1 or 2 and maybe 1 or 2 from the backs. But some, like, it does come to the case that a lot of the time they have the wrong player shooting because of the style of play.
Yeah, yeah. But if you look at Mayo, if you look at Mayo, I don't know if this is unlucky or what is it, but I'd like to see Mayo. Well, I wouldn't. Not against Galway.
You wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
But if you had, you know, a counter attacking style, and like you see, Killian was out last year. Tommy and Ryan O'Donoghue were there this year. Tommy's out. Ryan O'Donoghue is there. Killian's just back. If they had the three of them there as more of a focal point, because they're three very, very, very good players. Like Tommy Conroy is one of the best forwards in the country when he's on his day. And O'Donoghue
has
shown
it
as well.
And Carr has pace as well. I think if the ball goes in early, he could do damage.
But he could come off the bench then. But if you had those three, and we talk about the three up front model that we have with Clifford and Brosnan and these guys, those three together would be good if they were getting ball kicked into them. And I think if we see that three next year, will it change anything? You know, will they change the style of play? I don't know, will they? But like, they're three serious options, but they haven't had the three of them playing together. So it's a factor. But look, as you say, yesterday it was one dimensional. And I go back to the point that a Jim McGuinness style model could get Mayo a lot of places. I don't know. Do you agree?
You're advertising a job for Jim.
Well, no, I just think
don't, you know, connect Jim to another job.
But Horan is doing a good job. I mean, he's getting them so far, but is it going to get them over the line?
It is a case, I think his style gets the best out of his attacking defenders than the forwards that he has at his disposal at the moment. Like you mentioned, 3 or 4 lads there, right? Tommy Conroy's unavailable, but you actually have a couple of very good forwards there, and they're good shooters. They need the ball earlier. Like, if a team is running up, what are you going to do? You're going to drop back in front of the likes of Killian O'Connor, who you know is a good shooter. So,
and you know, we're being very hard on Mayo, but Horn's done an awful lot good here. You know, we have to get that point across. And he's done, from where Mayo were, and that started last decade, and where he's brought them to now, he started that journey for them. And to get that point across, in case we come down as a pure anti.
Yeah, but a lot of it is because the expectations are so high. Mm-hmm. The players are so good. They're good players. You just, look, do you know what? It's come to say you expect more. But Finney and I are not going to leave you away with a chair. We're not going to finish on Mayo, because Galway won the game. Absolutely. So we won't forget that.
Absolutely.
What direction are they going now? Is he going to stick with the two sweepers? Do you expect him to go back to a more. Well, obviously, they're playing Leitrim next. You'd expect him to win comfortably. Is it a case of building on it, or do you stick to this 2 sweepers? It worked well the last day, and you try and fine tune it. Because Roscommon, similar to Mayo, they have a running game. They also have kickers, and I just think having them 2 sweepers there on either side of the, if you're looking up, you see him. It slows you down for half a second or second, allows a midfielder half forward, half back to get the tackle in. Turnovers.
Yeah,
Galway have pace.
Yeah, I think I think you stick to what we did yesterday. That's where I would be going. I think you fine-tune it against Leitrim and you fine-tune it over the next three or four weeks for a Roscommon team, because Roscommon have shooters from all over the pitch, mm-hmm. and they'll come from all angles, and they've got a half-back line that can score with the Dailies and these guys. So, but yesterday there was flashes of, you know, our 1v1 defending, we're not there yet, and I wouldn't leave us isolated. Like, there was a few times James Carr got in, Donoghue turned, you know, a couple of times, you know, our backs struggled on the flat. We were very flat, and, you know, 1v1, I wouldn't trust our lads yet. Jack, you know, had a good game yesterday, Jack Glynn, but he's young, and, you know, in a big game in a Connacht final, I just think that bit of support would give those boys, you know, confidence, the Dylan McHughes of this world, give them that bit of structure, and it would give them confidence to I suppose what yesterday did from an early point, the blanket defence that we had, it keeps us in the game, it keeps us there. You know, the game will open up at some stage, but it kept us half time, it was level, you know, and you go down to Mayo and there's a big crowd, it can get away from you, you know, a mistake, a slip or something like that. So that gives you that bit of, you know, tightness at the back, and it allows you then to kind of open up into the game, and it gives you that bit of structure. So I would keep it. I think Pádraig should keep it. I think Keane O'Neill would want to keep it.
I think he'd
want
to keep it.
Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, our individual defending in the league wasn't great, and who's to say that it's got any better individually over the last while? I think yesterday as a collective we were quite good.
Yeah, it wouldn't get better individually that quick, so it is about getting the collective right, I think.
And sorry, Darren, what are you going to do if you get to Dublin or you get to Kerry or you get to Donegal? You're going to be going back to it anyhow, do you know what I mean?
For so, latter stages championship, if you're there, that's what you're going
to
need.
Absolutely, you need to fine tune it, and you need to get your subs up to because it does take time. It took Kevin 4 or 5 years to get it right, and a lot of hours of video analysis, walkthroughs, all that sort of stuff. Those systems don't happen overnight. I'd say in Kerry it took them all winter to fine tune it. So, you know, we've only started yesterday. It wasn't perfect, but I would go at it again. Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose without forgetting about the other games, we talked about Corrigan Park or Nowhere a couple of weeks ago. Didn't help Antrim. Kevin looked good. I was delighted. Like, obviously they won Division 4. I'm hoping Kevin can kick on now.
Well, the playing Donegal next day, so hope they don't kick on too far. No, listen, it turned into be a bit of a damp squib in terms of, you know, we expected a wee bit more from Antrim. And this, in fairness to Kevin, you'd actually be a wee bit, even though they've played Division 4, you'd be a wee bit worried to what they're going to bring against Donegal the next day. And, you know, they've always good footballers. Kevin have always good footballers, and they're nearly, probably for a different reason. You know, I give Kevin a hard time. Like, I'm not shy about it. But it's because, you know, they should be doing a lot better.
Yeah.
And, you know, on any day, that's why Donegal, thankfully, have got burnt once. Hopefully doesn't happen again. And, you know, on any given day, Cavan should be doing better they should be doing better with the group of players that they have.
Yeah, and I just want to give a mention to Martin Riley. I actually won a Sigerson with him a long time ago.
Serious servant. Yeah.
Oh, he's unbelievable. Yeah. He's brilliant. And he had a good soccer career as well before he went back playing GA with Kevin. So it'd be a good game in 2 weeks, and like you said, they caught Donegal before, so there's no reason why it can't happen again, or Donegal will know to be on their guard for it as well. And I suppose down to Leinster, but Mickey Hart, the train keeps rolling on for him, and big win for Loud.
Huge win, yeah. It's been going well for him. It's been going
expected
well
win against Carlow.
Expected win against Carlow, but, like, you know, they kicked a big score.
Sam Mulroy got 2-5, and he's a man full of confidence. And
Kieran Byrne as well. Yeah,
Conor Grimes inside is a big man. He actually, Sean, I'm going to mention, he himself and his now wife actually started up a company when they went travelling, Spoonful Botanical. It's all natural ingredients for joint. I must get a jar of it. Sorry, just a plug.
He must have been on to you there.
Yeah.
Listen, the Loud thing, and again, we would have talked about this before, they're looking to get a bounce off Mickey Hart. It succeeded. Now, what happens after Mickey Hart is the big one, because he has the calibre and we know he's going to bring it, but do Loud kick on from that there and start bringing the lads through? And, you know, there'll be a bit of buzz, there'll be a bit of talk about the within Loud and within, you know, in the GA circle. So it's important for them just to try and not just pat themselves on the back, listen, we're in the conversation again, to actually kick on.
Yeah, I think, to be fair to them, I think their plans aren't, short term, it is long term. Like even the fact that Mickey Hart signed the contract extensions, saying he'd be there for another couple of years anyway, and they seem to be moving in the right direction. And it's not a case of Division Two is where we want it. They have big aspirations, which is great. And to be fair to Mulroy, he's been vocal. He said it straight out, like, which is, I love hearing that, like, because that was the one thing about when we were playing and you go into an interview and you were always watching what you said. You'd always hold everything back. So I actually, I think it's quite refreshing that he's
saying. Well, that was Ian Kerry. You know, the grass is green. Yeah, we heard it.
If we were too honest, we weren't allowed to do the next media day. But I suppose the other game, a bit of a shock for me, Wexford and Offaly, but then supposedly all's not rosy in Offaly.
Problem with Offaly is I backed them for the Tailteann Cup.
You ruined it.
Last week, and I put the voodoo on them here. But I, again, same idea with Louth. Good things are happening in Offaly, and there's going to be bad days. You don't immediately land at the destination. I don't know too much in terms of the talk about the unrest or whatever was going on within the camp. So can't really comment on it, but they've just got to keep the head down and they're going to be so disappointed with the performance. And, you know, they just didn't ring in the championship now, but they've just got to keep at it and don't feel sorry for themselves.
Well, like you said, they're going into the Tailteann Cup now. It's about regrouping and get going again. For Wexford, Ben Brosnan.
Yeah.
1-8, 1-4 from play.
Savage, yeah. He needs to bleach the hair again for the crack.
I know. And when you're watching, is that him? You always knew it was him with the hair.
The hair is the one.
He was a class player. Lovely free taker. Soccer background as well, I think. But like, you know, he was there in 2008 when they got to the All-Ireland semi. Serving, but for Wexford, you know, like a Shane Roach, real proud. You know, back then he was a great player for Wexford when they had that team with Matty Ford and these guys. So, you know, it was great. It was great to see. And you know what? Like, it kind of shows like anyone can beat anyone. Like you saw Leash, Wicklow winning, Wexford winning. You know, Louth are there. Pity for Louth, they're not in the Tailteann Cup. I think this year, they're a step too early. I would think that the fact they're Division
Two. Right,
you wouldn't want them to get lost in Leinster and get a hockey in the back door. You know, not that it would set them back too far, but it'd be a bit, if they could win a Tailteann Cup this year and then go up. Anyhow, look, they are where they are. But Wexford, you know, it was great to see those games because people were looking at accumulators, this, that and the other, saying these will win. But realistically, those Division 3 and 4 teams, anyone could beat anyone on any given day. So.
And I think Wicklow, you mentioned them there, big win against Leash. 5-15, I think it's the most I've ever scored in a championship game. It was fair scoring in Leinster over the weekend. And Leash, look, it was a great win for Wicklow. I don't know what's going on in Leash.
I don't know.
It's not with Kerry managers in there. It's not going well.
When you can see, you might get the memo to Billy Sheehan about the defensive. You know, you can actually have a defensive structure and it's not all about attacking. Because when you concede 5 goals in county football, it's just not good enough.
And I wouldn't mind, he's an Austin Stacks man and they were the county champions below and they had a great defensive structure and that's what they built their game around. So.
Yeah. They still have a few of the, like, you know, Walsh, O'Carroll, Timmins, there's still a lot of those. I think John O'Loughlin was playing, was he? Was he midfield yesterday for Leash?
Not sure.
Like, he's still knocking about.
Yeah, and Ross Munley is still playing. And Ross Munley. Do you know, Ross is 20 years playing. Ross is still able to kick scores, don't get me wrong, but... Like, obviously, the conveyor belt isn't in... There's something deeper in Leash,
It's very impressive by him to be still going, that hunger and the ability, to be fair. He's not there just because age or whatever. But if you're still getting on ahead of fellas 19, 20, 21, 22, mid-20, them fellas have to be looking at themselves going, geez, if I can't get on to a fella who's...
You would put Leash in the Cavan bracket. Should be doing an awful lot better. And they just aren't. There just seems to be... You know, we had a good chat about Down last week in terms of the a loser mentality is a bit harsh, but it's basically the truth of it. I say that from someone who's had the loser mentality, and they just seem to be, you know, going through the motions of being an inter-county player.
Yeah, and I suppose just finally, Tyrone, obviously they got the better of you under 20s, they got the better of Donegal, but what a score. I don't know, did you see it? Rory Canavan. Yeah. Another Canavan coming. We could all be in trouble.
Actually had the debate with someone during the week now about who was the better Canavan now. And it's in terms of Dara or Rurina.
I've heard people say Rory.
Again, this man was advocating for Rory, I thought Dara, but you know, the fact that we're having this conversation about two Canavans and they're two ridiculously good players, and who's it's a scary prospect for us up in Ulster to have.
I think it's a scary prospect more, for everyone.
For everybody, exactly. Mm. But no, listen, they're a good outfit, they're well coached, and I think that's where we want to get to in the underage structures. And you know, our Tyrone are producing winners. They're producing, you know, players that are ready to step into it, and that's where Donegal aspire to be. It breaks my heart to say that now. But you know, that they have the template.
But just on that, like even going back to Laois and Wexford and these counties, you'd love to have the conversation in a lot of these counties, and you know, in Donegal, what is the plan, you know, over the next 5 years, 10 years? Like is there cohesion, and you know, is there a connection between the under-20s in Donegal and the seniors? How does it work? I see in my own county, not a lot of connection. You know, we've lost a lot of the schools. You know, we don't have a connection between the colleges and the county. It's a little bit scattered. And whilst we won yesterday, you know, all is not rosy and go. There's a lot of work to do to get it back to being a footballing county. But it's an interesting conversation. Like what are Laois doing? Are they looking 5-10 years, or is it just a bad time and they need to wipe the slate clean? You know, in Donegal, what do you do to get the players
through? The thing about it and the reality of it is, that remember, we would have had the funding debate in the GAA in terms of, you know, divvy out the funding and equal it up. And the logic of their argument was good, but there's some county boards where you literally couldn't give them a fiver because you just couldn't trust them to do it right. Then it's up to the county, because you ask the question, finding what's going on, there's not a lot going on. And a lot of counties, they're just not up at the standard. They're maybe reacting rather than being proactive, getting the structures in place. And, you know, I think... It's hard because they can't involve with the Donegal thing, but I think Donegal are on the right track. They're ticking a lot of the right boxes now. But when you see and when you talk to a lot of people down the country, and you know, even in the north, they're not on the right track. And it's too serious now. It's too professional, you know, not to have the right plan.
Too much money involved as well. I knew this was going to be the problem with having the two of you in studio today. That we'd need two or three shows to get through everything.
It's been too positive today. We need.
We're down recorder backs.
We have to leave on a bad note.
I need a whinge, because I'm rushing. I want to get down for the Kerry Cork under 20 game in Tralee. And look, in fairness, I think sticking with Kerry Cork, Kerry came out with the gesture to go up to Páirc Uaireann, play it above there. I kind of always felt that it would come to the stage that Kerry would have to get involved and do it. And look, last time they made a gesture to get bitten in the arse against Tyrone. So I don't think it'll happen this time. Unfortunately, we've probably gone over time, but that's all we've time for in today's show. Big thanks for my two guests, Eamon and Finian. It was absolutely brilliant to have them both in the studio with me today.
Cheers, and
join us next week where we'll be talking about loads more championship action. See you then.
You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
The final whistle is all over. Jim Gavin, Jason Sherlock embrace. Dublin are the history makers.
Today, Sean Kavanagh, who is a brilliant footballer, but I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
O'Sullivan, oh, that was absolutely brilliant. What about that for skill from Darren O'Sullivan?
Kieran McCall, it's high, it's over! Will he ever get a more vital one than that?
The transition talk, I think Joe Bradley told us the production line was finished in Kerry. Well, Joe Bradley, what do you think it is?